Blog Talk Radio. Residing in the past room, focused on regrets, past hurts, and painful memories? Or are you hanging out in the future room, filled with worry, anxiety, and fear? Stay tuned. Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, healing through love relationship healer, somatic body psychotherapist, and health and wellness coach, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me book series, the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, and creator of 30 powerful healing through love lessons. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who keep proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond. Kevin Murphy is a former Wall Street managing director for Citigroup, was a wrestling champion, community activist, and author of the book, The Three Rooms. During his 20-plus year spiritual journey, he discovered that our thoughts determine the quality of our happiness, health, wealth, and relationships. So I'm delighted to welcome you, Kevin Murphy.
Thank you very much, Erica. Thank you for having me on.
I would really like to hear about your early background. You worked on Wall Street, and you said you wrote a book, and people thought you wrote about options, and I realized you wrote about a type of options, but not about Wall Street options. Anyway, please tell us about your background, training, and how you were on Wall Street, and then how you shifted into writing about spirituality and about the mind.
Well, you know, I spent 33 years with one firm, but it was really six different firms that merged together. And I think through each merger, you learn a lot about yourself, you know, as well as other people's behaviors, you know, especially during times of adversity. And, you know, we all go through adversity at work or at home. And I was certainly no different. And when you're dealing with those different types of issues, I found that looking within for answers is far more effective than trying to get the right answers from other people. And so that's what I did throughout my career. I kept on this spiritual journey, devouring all different types of books and literature on ancient wisdom, and but 5 years ago, still, this would have been a very unlikely conversation we were having. But then I started getting this premonition that I was going to write a book, and I started getting this image of three doors. And one was labeled the past, and one the present, and one the future. And then those three doors eventually became three rooms, because I kept describing the places our thoughts go behind each door. I think what was maybe most interesting to me was that early on, I wrote down 10 chapters to the book, and those chapters never changed. And over the next 3 years, while I was commuting back and forth into the city, I kept writing down, thoughts and ideas, and I would fill them into different parts of the book. Sometimes they came from movies or songs, and other times it was from life experiences. This goes into, the chapter on, the future room, or this goes into the chapter on the past room, or that's talking about moving, thoughts moving from room to room. And I would literally write on the railroad, the subways, or in the gym, on the treadmill in the morning, wherever these ideas came. And eventually all the chapters were filled in. And I realized, you know, it was time to publish the book.
Wow. What an experience. That's what some people go through in writing a novel. I wrote a novel in a month challenge, NaNoWriMo, and that's how it happened. It got filled in. So you described the process. So now tell us the significance of each of the rooms.
Well, I think, you know, the past room, you know, is when you're looking back at things that have happened, you know, once again, in the past, and they are bringing on negative emotions in you now. It could be something that, you know, you perceive someone did to you or some guilty about. And so it's something that you're remembering from the past that's causing negative emotions now. And the future room is when you're looking to the future, but you're typically thinking of what you don't have or how you can't have it and kind of worst case scenarios about the future. And it's causing negative emotions also, like stress or anxiety or, you know, a feeling of lack of how you don't have things. But in the present room is when you not only are you focused on your own presence, but you're feeling all of the positive emotions, things like gratitude and joy and peace and love and compassion, those kind of feelings. And so, of course, that's where we would like to be, you know, all the time, but, you know, our everyday lives, it pulls us into different, you know, into different rooms. And I think the real, you know, the key, you know, is to be aware of which room our thoughts are in. And in order to be aware of them, we need to observe them. And it is that act of observation that separates our awareness from our thoughts. And that awareness or that consciousness is the divine consciousness that all the mystics have always talked about. You know, that which is aware of our thoughts is the consciousness or the universal intelligence that we all have access to, and we all want to tap into that.
And I want to point out something that I'm thinking about as you're talking about people who have been in a really bad circumstance, like someone who was in Vietnam, who was in a hole in the ground, you know, captured in a hole in the ground, and he was picturing his wife's wedding dress. So which room was he in, the present or the past, thinking of something from the past, but it kept him centered in the present?
Being centered in the present is the key. And that means you're in the present room, and, you know, that presence is your connection to your higher consciousness. And so, of course, we can think about things in the past, or we can think about things in the future. And to me, to know which room you're in is all about how you feel. Because, mm-hmm. you know, if we're thinking about, people say, well, we have to look to the past to, you know, to we learn from the past, or we need to plan for the future, so you have to, you know, to go into the future. But there's a big difference between looking back at something and reliving the negative emotions that were caused, you know, during the time of that experience, and being in the present now and looking back on it, knowing you're looking back on a memory to either learn from it or to recall positive past experiences. I mean, it's nice to look back at something that, you know, remember something, the first kiss you had, or, you know, when you first got married, or the birth of your first child. I mean, those are wonderful memories to look back on. If they make you feel good now, you're aware that you're going back into the past to recall positive past experiences. The problem with getting stuck in the past room is when you keep going back and thinking about something, and it keeps causing negative emotions, whether it be anger or resentment or guilt or things like that, and you keep reliving those, and then you're not aware that you're there, so you don't come back into the present, and you just keep holding on to those. And we all know some people who have real trouble letting go of the past. You know, and sometimes they just appear angry all the time. We think, you know, what's wrong with him? Well, you know, he's got a lot of things that, you know, things are, you know, tough breaks. And you bring up a great point. Sometimes it could just be, they keep thinking back to a time of, say, a Vietnam where, they were in a really, really terrible situation that, and they keep reliving that. Those are the biggest challenges of trying to move away from those past memories associated with those negative emotions. But it starts with at least being aware that I keep, well, like I'm going back, and when I go back and think about that, I'm reliving those negative emotions. So let me let that go and come back into the present. But if you're also thinking about something from the past, and let's say that person was sitting in a foxhole and wanted to think about something else and feel better, and is, thinking about, the first time he met, his girlfriend or his, future wife, and is feeling really good while sitting in that foxhole, well, he's present. Even though he's thinking about something in the past, but he's feeling those positive emotions. And that's what it's all about, because it's, the tagline to the three rooms is change your thoughts, change your life. But that's not exactly true or accurate. It really should be change your emotions, change your life, because it's all about how we feel. So that's truly how you know which room you're in, by how you feel. So not only do we need to pay attention to our thoughts, which have the biggest impact on how we feel, but we always need to pay attention to how we feel and be honest with ourselves. And we want to keep coming back to good thing, thoughts that produce good feelings.
It's so true what you're saying. I'm thinking of another example. Viktor Frankl, who was in a concentration camp, talks about a time when he was walking through the snow and ice with rifles pointed at him, and he was holding a vision of his wife smiling. And that got him through what most people would think is the most horrendous situation. So people can, get those happy feelings. But I asked you when we started, before we came on, what happens if you're in the present room and you're not feeling so good?
Well, and that's, we've all experienced that, and some people, more than others, they want to get out of the past, and because and I'm sorry, out of the present. They say, well, I want to recall my glory days. I loved high school, and that was a wonderful time, and now things aren't working out so much, and I don't really like my life right now. But not there's several, explanations for, not liking where you are right now. Because if you're not enjoying where you are right now, then you are not aligned with your own higher self, with your own soul, because your soul right now in this moment is loving you and is appreciative of being right here in this time and space right now. And it is our perceptions of things that are going on. So it's either something that, you think you're being in the present and you're looking at, everything you see and hear in the physical world, and you're saying, I'm not really where I want to be, and so I don't like my life now. But everything you see and hear, what you think is what is, well, this is my life right now. Now, this is what's already happened. By definition, it's already, everything that's happened up to this moment is now already in the past. So we simply need to ask ourselves, where do I want to go in the future? And what typically is, people take where they are now, which is, they think it's what is, and they look to the future and they see, well, what these are my desires and what I have right now. I don't have them right now. I either want, I want a new car. I want to be able to have my own home. I want this relationship. I want a better job. I want all, these are all the desires, but you're looking at your life right now and you're noticing that you don't have it, and you're focusing on what you don't have. And so that's what you see in the future, that, yeah, see, I don't have this, and I don't know, and I don't know how I'm going to get it. And so you can't attract into your life those desires by by thinking I don't have them and feeling the negative emotions of not having them. You keep pushing those desires further out because the thoughts of I don't have it and the negative emotions of I can have it keep pushing it out. So how do you change that? Well, you change that by being in the present room, if you will, but you start imagining what it would be like to have fulfilled those desires. So what is it that I would like in my life? I'd like to be more financially secure. Okay, things, wow, how would that feel? That would feel really good. I'd be able to do different things. I'd be able to take care of my family more. Maybe I'd be able to go on a vacation. Wow, that would feel really good. I want to hold on to that feeling. And so now you start to feel this image that you're creating in the future, and you start feeling what it would like be like to fulfill that. And now you can start to attract into your life the things that are necessary to bring that about. And all of a sudden, you're in the present, and nothing has changed from 2 minutes ago when you were thinking about, I can't have this, and I'm never going to be able to do that, and I feel terrible, I hate my life, to, what would it be like? Let me imagine a future that I would enjoy, and now hold on to that feeling. And you can say, well, that's wishful thinking, and that's not reality. But that is reality. In your mind and in your imagination, everything that has ever manifested or come about started with someone's imagination or someone's thoughts or someone's ideas. Look around the world. All these things, from the internet to everything, to right to the current, everything that we have in our society today started with an idea of an image in someone's mind to create their future.
Mm-hmm.
And they believed in it. And so how do you believe in it? You start to feel it. And if you feel it as if it's already happened, now that's the future that you start to feel now, and that's how you can change your perception of your life today.
It's incredible what you're saying. And each time you say something, there's another example. Nelson Mandela was in a prison cell for 27 years. Most of us could not even imagine something like that. And we certainly wouldn't come out being positive and becoming president of the country. But he obviously was able to get into that present state of mind and visualize it and imagine it and plan for it.
Yeah, now think of his life. If he came out, would anyone have second-guessed him or blamed him if he came out a bitter man and just resentful and wanting to get back at the government and the white man who, just incarcerated him and just really focused on that negative energy and revenge? I mean, people say, well, I get it. And yeah, you're right. They should never have done that to you. And yeah, you should get them back. People think they're being supportive by that, and people would understand if he did that. But who would he have been hurting? Like, that would have been understandable, but it would not have benefited him at all. But instead, coming out and saying, okay, from here, where would I like to go from here? I need to forgive in order to, to be able to put that experience behind me. And then what is it that I imagine for my future? Where can I go from here? And by looking to the future and imagining a future for his country and saying, this is, be the change that you wish to see in the world, he was the living example of that, of being that change. And it was in the present, in that his presence when he came out of it, and his image of the future allowed him to create that image of the future, which was him becoming the first black president.
Yeah, it was amazing. But we have examples of this over and over.
All the time.
Of people who made that choice. So now I have another question, which is kind of related to that what can we do if we're trying to be in the present, or we're being in the present, and somebody or some situation outside of us, like I sometimes get caught up with technology not working well, but there's lots of situations and people that are upsetting us right now. What can we do? How can we be in the present and come out of it?
Well, there's a couple of things. You know, we all know some people who just always like to drag us back into the past. You know, I mean, you know what? You know, Eric, I want to talk to you. You know, remember what you said 2 weeks ago? I'm still mad at you, you know, and you really hurt my feelings. And you're thinking, what did I say? I don't remember. Then, yeah, and then remember 6 months ago, you know, you did kind of the same thing, and you're sitting there going, what, 6 months ago? I don't remember from six. And then you're flustered, and then they're, you know, they're kind of attacking you, and they're bringing you back into the past room with their negative emotions, and now they're
Let
making...
Let me just say something. That sounds a lot like relationships, like a lot of them.
It is a lot like relationships, and a lot of relationships, they like to bring you into the past room because they are holding on to their negative emotions, thinking about the past, and they want to drag you back there. And the key is you don't have to go. You can stop it right there and say, you know what, I'm sorry if I did anything to hurt you or offend you. I certainly didn't do it intentionally, but where do we want to go from here? No, but remember, I don't want to go back 6 months. I don't remember the conversation. Once again, I'm sorry if I hurt you, but where do we stand now? Where do you want to go from here? And so we can determine where we want to be, how we feel, and having, you know, getting dragged back into the past with, you know, with negative emotions. You know, once again, we never have to do that. You know, other people, you know, may want to do that, and there's always going to be situations where, you know, what we see and hear in the physical world, you know, affects our emotions and brings on negative emotions. But we want to constantly start with how we feel, focus on who we are on the inside, aligning with that higher consciousness that we can tap into, and then letting that determine everything we see and hear and affect all of our relationships. You know, I don't have to go back there. I can stay right here. And if you want to, you know, be here with me and let's plan a, you know, a future together, that's great. If not, then, you know, I forgive you, but I wish you well. And that's another thing about... Okay, go ahead.
What do you recommend somebody do to get into that really strong present state of mind?
Well, number one is, you know, meditation is the easiest way to get into the present room or into that presence that we all would like, because meditation is the absence of thought. And so it is our thoughts that pull us out of the present room. You know, that's where we all started when we were infants. We came into this world. You look at little children, they're so happy and joyful. That's really where we start. And then as we get older and we get all these different perceptions about things that are happening, we keep thinking about things and interpreting them, and they pull us out of the present room, causing negative emotions, in, whether it be from the past or worrying about the future. So number one, the quickest way to get back into the present room is meditation, because it's the absence of thought. But unfortunately, so many people say, well, you know, I tried meditation. Yeah, it doesn't work for me. Okay, well, it's mm-hmm. not that it doesn't work for you. One, you haven't given it enough time to work for you. And the other part of meditation is that they start in the morning and they may be meditation for, you know, 15 minutes and they feel calm and they go out into the world. And, you know, as soon as you start driving to work, someone cuts you off and you spill coffee on your lap and you get all mad. And now, you know, goodbye meditation, you know, or goodbye peaceful mm-hmm. feeling. So we constantly need reminders throughout the day to come back into the present room. And I like to think just thoughts of gratitude are the best way to stay in the present room. So you've asked the question, you know, how do you get into the present room? Well, meditation can help you get there because it's absence of thoughts. But thoughts of gratitude and appreciation help you stay there because that keeps giving you, you know, positive feelings. And reminders through the day can be as something as simple as just the question, where am I? Or where are my thoughts? Because to go back to the beginning, if you, you know, as long as you're aware of where your thoughts are, which room you're in, then you're, and you're aware of your emotions, if you're feeling negative emotions, then at least you can begin the process of coming back. But if you're mad all day long about something that maybe happened 2 days ago or a week ago, sometimes it could be subconsciously, then you know, you're not going to get out of that negative emotion because you're not even aware of that. Or if you're constantly worrying about something, you have a big, you know, a student has a big test coming up, or you're going to hear about, you know, whether you got this new job or not, or it could be, you know, something, a medical test that you're waiting a week for, but you're constantly worrying about what's going to happen, then you're, those negative emotions, if you're not aware that you just keep subconsciously thinking about that over and over and worrying about it, you're going to stay there. But as long if you can say, you know what, I know I keep thinking about the test, I can't do anything else about it. Because, of course, if you can do something to help change something in the future, then you go out and do it. We don't mm-hmm. not do things and just hope things miraculously heal. But if there's something that's out of our control now, we can say, I know I keep going there with my thoughts. I keep thinking about it. It's causing these negative emotions. I'm going to let it go because I can't do anything else. Let me come back here and let me think of something that I'm, you know, appreciative or grateful for.
Yeah, gratitude is so important, and we, most of us, really have plenty to be grateful for, even if it's just shelter and warmth. I mean, people have been flooded out of their homes, and yet they may still be grateful for their family or for the love in their life. So it's really where your focus is. But I have
Absolutely.
Another question. In spiritual growth and spiritual teachings, they talk about asking, who am I? And you ask, where am I? So just explain the difference and why you say that.
Well, I think that iconic question of, you know, who am I? When people ask that, they're really asking about the I that nobody else can see, the I that's inside of them. Because we really don't ask, you know, who am I, meaning, you know, this person that everybody else sees, because you kind of know who that is. I mean, if you were a fireman yesterday, you're not saying today, who am I? Am I a policeman today? Am I a doctor? Am I something else? I mean, we know who we are on the outside. And we're really asking, who am I on the inside? Who is it that said, why did I say that? Or why did I do that? You know, who am I? And that's, you're really looking within. And when you truly look within, you know, who we are on the inside never changes. You know, who we are on the outside always changes. Our occupation, our appearance, those things change. But who we are on the inside, we are all eternal beings that have manifested in these physical bodies just in order to experience ourselves. And we're all going through this physical experience. And so that doesn't change. But what does change about who we are on the inside is what we think and how we feel. And so we all have, and you alluded to it earlier, that you can think about something, you know, that you were talking about Viktor Frankl, that even in a you know, what's a perceived as a terrible situation, he can think of something, an image, that makes him feel good. And we mm-hmm. all have that power to do that. We all have the power to think about something that makes us feel good. So when you say, where am I? You're saying, where am I? Where are my thoughts? And that's driving how we feel. And so any time during the day when we're feeling stress about something, or we're really nervous about something, or we're really angry about something that happens in the past, just by saying, where am I, and being able to acknowledge how you feel or which room you're in, means you have to be aware of your thoughts. And that awareness or that consciousness, it means you've just tapped back into that consciousness or that awareness that we all want to reach. And so that's why, to me, it's far more important to keep asking, where am I? And that's your reminder all through the day when things happen and you're, you know, someone, you spill that coffee on you, or someone says something mean or cut you off, and then, you know, you get pulled into the past room and you get angry for a second and you say, oh, you know what, I got to let that go. Where am I? I'm back in the past room. And the image of the three rooms, you know, is designed to help people spend less time in the past and future, because it's such an interesting, you know, so simple concept that even a child can understand. Because my daughter is in middle school, and she can notice, you know, point out when someone else is either in the past room or the future room. Say, Dad, look at him. He's really, really angry. He must be stuck in the past room. And what's wonderful about that is the more kids or more we are able to identify which room someone else is in, the better we are at identifying which room we are in and how we feel, and the quicker we can move back into the present.
So now I have a question about how can this concept of the three rooms help a person dealing with a serious or chronic illness or a sudden illness, or someone dealing with an addiction, or dealing with a partner who cheated or who asked for divorce, or, you know, how do you deal with these kinds of situations that many of us, or business conflict?
Well, I think, you know, you raise a real good point, because it's, you know, sometimes it's not just going through your day, la-di-da-di-da, oh, I got mad at him, all right, yeah, I can let that go. Sometimes there's real, you know, causes for stress, you know, and then the number one, you know, cause of chronic illness, you know, in the country today is stress. And so it's understandable why people, you know, what people can do that. And if you look especially at someone who's, you know, been diagnosed with, you know, with a serious illness, you know, how do they not worry about that? How do they not, you know, develop stress because of that? And you really have to look at, you know, what is the reason. And the more they worry about that, you know, diagnosis, and think that, you know, I am not healthy, you know, and I'm getting worse, that's just causing more and more stress. But in today's society, there is so many cases, and that are growing and growing, of things about spontaneous remissions, where people with real illnesses are curing themselves. And what is the one common denominator with all of them is that they believe that there is a power greater than them that can heal the body. It's not them that's going to heal. It's this higher power. And then that's the first thing. They all have to believe that something greater, you know, the power that created the body can heal the body. And then after that, how to activate that power is kind of what I was alluding to earlier, is that they look at their illness and they imagine what it would be like to be healed. And they focus on that feeling, not of being sick and having this chronic illness, but on the feeling of being healed and knowing that there is a power greater than them that can heal them. And so relinquishing to that and saying, okay, I know I can be healed, you know, go ahead and this is how it would feel to be healed. And that is how these spontaneous remissions are happening. And it's taking the cue from ancient wisdom, and now it's going right down to modern, you know, quantum physics. When you look at things like, you know, epigenetics and the power of the thought to literally change the cells in our body. So modern science is telling us what the mystics from ages ago always knew, that there is a power greater than us, this universal consciousness that we can tap into and that literally can heal our body. But once again, you can only tap into that consciousness in the present moment or in the present room. So thinking about the feeling of being healed in the present moment, as opposed to thinking about what you have and how you're not going to get better and it's only going to get worse, what we think and what we feel is what we create.
That is huge. And what I'm seeing in the healing movement, or whatever you want to call it, is so many promises of a particular nutritional product, or maybe a particular exercise or a particular meditation or whatever, as the answer for healing. And it really is that we have to do that inner work and make that inner connection. The food, whatever we
could not agree more,
has an effect. But if we just focus on the food, and we could eat the most incredible, you know, perfectly healthy food, if our mind is not connecting to that higher source and knowing it's possible, we're not going to heal.
I could not agree more. But remember, it does not mean that eating healthy does not help. I mean, my brother was diagnosed with prostate cancer last year, and it was an advanced stage of prostate cancer, and it even spread out of the prostate. It wasn't looking really good. And he really started to look within and do all the inner work and all the mental work that we're talking about, and feeling what it would be like to be healed. Then he also took some clinical trial drugs. He also had his prostate removed, and he also completely changed his diet. So he said, I'm going to do everything I can, but along with really focusing on the mental state and the feeling of being healed. So when you put it all together, for the last 6 months, he keeps going back, and his PSA levels are 0.0, and he's 100% cancer-free. Now you can say, well, see, the drugs did it. Or you can say, well, see, the diet did it. Or you can say, well, you see, the mental component of it did it. I think you try all of them, but with the most critical is the mental component, how you think and how you feel, feeling as if you are already healed. And, you know, and that is how that is how the placebo works as well. If you're taking that drug, I mean, we know that people can take a drug, or they can take a placebo, and the placebo can heal someone, physically heal someone, sometimes as much as the drug does. And that's that power of belief, and that goes to that mental component of it, that our thoughts can literally change the cells in our bodies.
So I have one final question for you. Does a person need to have a belief in this divine presence or higher power to benefit from knowing about the three rooms?
Now, I really don't think that they need that belief in a higher power or spiritual belief in order to benefit it, because science is now confirming what all the mystics talked about. So you can just take that scientific point of view of how you can heal your body, how you get stuck in rooms because your thoughts release chemicals, and they can release negative chemicals in the body that make you feel bad. So just from the scientific standpoint, it can be explained with the three rooms. But personally, I mean, it's worked far better for me to believe in a higher self, to believe that I came from, there's a part of me, a non-physical part of me that came from this divine consciousness, and that non-physical part of me will return to that, divine consciousness. And that's the part of me that I want to continue to connect with. And for, most, spiritual teachings, that's what they're all talking about, just, aligning, with your physical self and your, vibrational self, if you will, or your spiritual self or your soul. And just think of it just that way. And that, most people, without the words, most people believe they have a soul. Yeah, I have a soul. Okay. Well, then that soul, just keep getting to know that soul. Just keep feeling that soul. Keep, aligning with your own soul. The more you practice that, the more you'll stay in the present room.
Oh, beautiful. Okay, so how can people get in touch with you or get the book?
Well, the book, The Three Rooms, is available on Amazon, or they can go to a website, www.thethreerooms.com. And on, I guess on Twitter, it's Kevin Murphy 3R, just the number 3R for The Three Rooms. I really appreciate being on the show. It was wonderful talking about these topics with you.
Yeah, thank you. It's delightful. Very inspiring. And I will be practicing some of this. I look forward to it.
That's wonderful.
And thank you so much for being a guest.
My pleasure.
So I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website, drericagoodstone.com, for a complimentary Healing Through Love session or a free report, or just look around. There's some videos, audios, a lot of good information on how you can heal. Heal yourself and heal your life and create wonderful relationships. I look forward to speaking to you again soon.